What were the folks at the Butkus Award thinking? And is Josie Jewell the best linebacker to ever wear an Iowa uniform? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
No, I think, you know, the developmental programs are the ones that can really improve their players. I mean, maybe sometimes they won't get the 5 stars, they won't get the 4 stars. Those 3 and 2 star guys, but those 2 star guys, sometimes, you know, they want to work. So if they're, you know, a developmental program really makes the guys that want to work, they're going to make them the best possible play, and you're going to get the best efficiency out of that person.
That's a kid who almost wound up at Luther because no Division I football program wanted him. That kid is also the same guy today who was named the best defensive player in the Big Ten. Josie Jewell, welcome in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with you for another day. Thursday, November 30th, great show on tap for you. Alex Kuhn along with me. Kyle Mann, our producer, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. We've got some Iowa State women's basketball and some high school hoops on the horizon for you. Also, some great guests. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com is going to be with us tonight at the bottom of this hour. We'll talk about the coaching carousel, get the latest on what's going on at Tennessee. Will Jimbo Fisher leave Florida State for Texas A&M? And how Adam thinks the college football playoff situation will play out with championship weekend on the horizon. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports is with us as well tonight at 5:05. We'll chat Cyclones with him and get his thoughts on Matt Campbell's lucrative new deal in Ames. Woodja comes up at 6 o'clock tonight. We've got the foreigner tickets we've been giving away all week. My apologies, they're foreigner coming to the U.S. Cellular Center in downtown Cedar Rapids. An evening with foreigner and the Dave Egger Orchestra. Those tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock, but you can win them before you can buy them. And I say this Friday at 10 o'clock, that's tomorrow at 10 o'clock. This week seems like it's just flown by, Alex.
It really has. And before we get too far along, a little bit of a programming note for tomorrow. It'll be you and Rob tomorrow. I have a day off tomorrow, so that'll take place on Friday. But I know you mentioned it a little bit, but we're going to get to a pretty classic moment in the history of Coach call-in shows later today, and it has to do with a coaching carousel that keeps spinning, not only at the University of Tennessee, but at Florida State and Oregon and all across the country. It just keeps getting more and more bizarre.
Yeah, for all the keyboard warriors out there that complain about the media not asking the tough questions, and everybody has always said you can go to Kirk Ferentz's weekly call-in show and ask him yourself. No one's ever had the cojones to do that, but somebody else in another part of the country did just that last night. That's coming up for you in hour number two. The Iowa women, tough loss last night at home to Florida State. The UNI men, upsetting. Undefeated UNLV. It took overtime at the McLeod Center. We've got a little bit of Gary Rima's call from the game last night. Went back and listened to it. It was relatively subdued, our friend Gary Rima, who joins us every Wednesday. But we start today with Josie Jewell. I want to go back to this because he's named today as the best defensive player in the Big Ten. Takes home that particular award. He's also named the linebacker of the year in the Big Ten. And in the Big Ten, they attach names to the awards. And the award for the linebacker of the year in the Big Ten is the Butkus Fitzgerald Award, named for Illinois and Chicago Bear legend Dick Butkus and Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald, who was a tremendous linebacker in Evanston. There's also the Butkus Award, which goes to the nation's best linebacker. Josie Jewell wasn't named as a finalist for that when the five names were released. I'm having a hard time reconciling, and I don't normally get all worked up about this kind of stuff, but how can you have the season that he did? How could you have all the accolades that Josie Jewell has garnered to this point? And how can you win an award that has Dick Dick Butkus's name on it from the Big Ten, but the Butkus Award Committee goes, now there's five guys out there that are better. What a colossal oversight. Does this drive home the point that these awards really don't mean a whole lot?
Yes.
Are there five linebackers in the country that are better than the kid in Iowa City?
Statistics-wise, no. And I think the point that a lot of people are going to bring up is there were a couple of Big Ten linebackers that were named finalists for the Butkus Award. And yet, Josie Jewell wins the award for best linebacker in the Big Ten and was not named a Butkus Award finalist despite having 115 tackles, which is, I think, 20 more than anybody else that was named a finalist, and his sack numbers were right up there with any of the finalists. There were a couple of decisions this year, not only with the Butkus Award, but with some of these other postseason awards, the Biletnikoff Award, the Doak Walker Award, where you're just scratching your head and wondering, how did they come up with this list of finalists? And they overlooked a couple of players that pretty much at each position that should have been finalists and could have very well taken home the award.
Michael in Cedar Rapids on the Hurtin and Stecker text line says, I'm not sure who those other five guys are, but I bet their team won more than seven games. Who cares, right? I mean, if the award is for, that's not directed toward Michael. What I'm saying is, who cares what the team's record is? If a team goes 0-12 and they've got the best linebacker in the country, shouldn't that guy get the award?
This isn't an award for the most valuable linebacker.
What do wins and losses have to do with it? But you're right. I have a feeling you're probably right. But from that standpoint, that shouldn't factor in. And it goes back to, you can tie this back into the baseball awards argument that they had a couple weeks ago with Giancarlo Stanton and whether or not you can win the most valuable player award on a team that's under 500, with a team with a losing record. We saw it's happened a number of times in baseball. I remember Andre Dawson in 1987, and people are still arguing about that. Who cares if Iowa was 7-5 this year? You look at what Josie Jewell's done, and again, this is an incredible story. This is a guy who essentially nobody wanted. He was going to stay home and go to Luther, stay close to home. And instead he comes to Iowa City, and that's why that quote that started the program, that was Josie in Chicago in late July at Media Day when he was asked about Iowa being a developmental program. And he's the living, breathing embodiment of that, right? A two-star, three-star guy, no-star guy who comes to Iowa City, works with Chris Doyle, works with Kirk Ferentz and that staff, and they build him up into the best linebacker in the country. Best linebacker in the Big Ten, best linebacker in the country, whether or not he has both pieces of hardware to prove it. Now, Josh Jackson also taking home some accolades from the Big Ten today. Best defensive back. That's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Who's going to be the bigger loss for the Iowa defense in 2018? Now, you look and say Josh Jackson's only a junior, but I think you also have to look and come to the realization that when your name is being thrown around as a first-round draft pick, chances are you're probably leaving early. So, Jewell or Jackson, and the last time that I looked, it was 50-50 split right down the middle, the early voting. Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question today, KGYMRadio.com. Check him out on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
Sam Kinsley, our former executive producer.
He's like Cher. He has one name.
Brings up Kinsley, I should say. Sorry. Rashad Penny of San Diego State was left off the Doak Walker Award finalists as he rushed for over 2,000 yards. Anthony Miller at Memphis was left off the Biletnikoff Award. He was not a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award, even though he had better stats than Michael Gallup of Colorado State. There were several oversights, and I think that it shows that these awards are first of all, they don't matter all that much, and they're arbitrary. There's just no it's difficult, especially for a linebacker to sit there and say, oh, well, who is the best linebacker? Who's the most effective linebacker But when you look at them, I do agree that the record of the team that they play for should have no bearing on it, yet it seems like it did in this case. All and going back to what the texter said, I bet all of those teams were better than 7-5, and they were.
97-66 on the text line. I love Josie, but the defense spent a lot of time on the field. Okay. Yeah. Are you going to penalize? I think he gets more credit for that, right?
Yeah, well,
I know that in the implication there may be that it inflates the numbers a little bit.
Maybe it did.
But when you go back and watch, I spent a little bit of time today. I was in the studio and I was digging around for some audio, and I came across a couple clips on YouTube of the Ohio State and Penn State game, the highlights. And I just found myself, I sort of fell down that wormhole for about 12, 15 minutes. I needed to be careful because of what time it was. But just watching the condensed versions of those games and Jewel's play. And he's an incredible kid, and I just am surprised to see him winning these awards and then look back to, what was it, last week sometime, right when the five finalists for the Butkus Award were announced and Josie Jewel wasn't among them. I want to know today from Hawkeye fans if Josie Jewel, in your opinion, is the best linebacker to ever wear an Iowa uniform. 319-366-1600. Chad Lystico at the Des Moines Register had a really good point today, running down all of the names, including a lot of really good linebackers at Iowa that have never won the Defensive Player of the Year award. And it's another feather in Josie Jewel's cap. And we'll see where things go from here for the Hawkeye linebacker.
I saw a statistic today that Iowa was one of nine teams who for the last 3 years has been in the top 25 in scoring defense each year. And you talk about common denominators to that statistic. Josie Jewel is the heart and soul of that defense and has been the heart and soul of that defense for the last 3 years. And I go back to where we talked about how valuable he is to this team. Where would they be without him in that in the middle of that defense? And Dan and Sullen says without Jewel, Iowa would have gone 5-7 or worse. It's hard for me to quantify that, but I do know that they are a much better team and a much better defense when he is out there. And where would this team be without their defense these last couple years when the offense has struggled at times to pull the rest of their weight? So if you want to argue the whole value thing, I can make the argument that there was no more valuable player to this defense the last 3 years than Josie Jewel.
Dan and Solon also threw out the name that I knew was going to come up first in this discussion, and that is Larry Station, who's joined us on this program in the past, in the afternoon, I should say, not on this particular iteration of the program, but yeah, you're going to have a hard time convincing Iowa fans of a certain age that anybody is a better linebacker than Larry Station. Brian on the text line saying, I don't know, Greenway and Hodge were pretty good. And again, Josie Jewel is still in college. Chad Greenway just wrapped up an 11-year NFL career. Take the NFL out of it. Their performances on the field with the Hawkeyes. And I look back at Greenway. Greenway had a lot of talent around him on those Iowa defenses. And you look at Jewel and some of the teams that he's played on. The guy was a captain for 3 years. And as we mentioned here on the program before, they went back to 1930. They couldn't find another instance of a guy serving as a captain for 3 years. So statistics are one thing, but when you look at him as a total package, very, very impressive football player. Who joined us at Big Ten Media Day in Chicago?
The last 2 years. How often, Todd, do you see Kirk Ferentz? And this is a little bit besides the point.
I love Anthony Hitchens, Michael and Cedar. I'm sorry, I love Anthony Hitchens. He's not in the discussion. No offense.
But how often do you see non-seniors at Media Day? How often do you see Kirk Ferentz take a guy who is a sophomore or a junior and make him what appears to be the face of the program, like he has done with Josie Jewel? And I hate to keep harping on this, but he has meant, like you said, not only with the statistics, not only with the impressive numbers that he's put up over the past 3 years, but he just the way that Kirk has kind of made him the face of that program tells me a lot about what he is. And yeah, I do think he should have been a finalist. I don't know if he should win it, but he is one of the top five linebackers in college football.
I'm looking down at my notes for today's show, and I have the guests. I have Adam Rittenberg. I have Alex Halstead. Never in my life did I think I would see these two names right next to each other for various reasons, but on my notes, I have Rick Pitino and Jim Nabors. Rick Pitino is suing Louisville, and Jim Nabors passed away today at the age of 87. And were it not for Scott playing it on the gym class, we probably would have at some point today gotten around to back home again in Indiana. Although when it comes to Jim Nabors singing, I prefer his version of Green Green Grass of Home. But if you're unfamiliar with who Jim Nabors is, Google is a wonderful thing. He was a tremendous, tremendous talent and an extremely good singer to boot. He was Gomer Pyle on the Andy Griffith Show, and then he got his own spinoff, and it goes downhill from there. Matt Campbell today named as the Big 12 Coach of the Year. No surprise there, right?
No.
If he gets a bonus. Most coaches in their contract get a bonus for such awards. So it's been a very good week for the 38-year-old Matt Campbell. Randy Peterson at the Des Moines Register had a really good rundown of Iowa State's bowl possibilities today at the Register's website, and I'm sure it made it into print too. I didn't get my hands on the Register today, but basically Iowa State fans are sort of at the mercy of the Big 12 championship game this weekend and whether or not TCU plays itself up into consideration for a New Year's Six bowl. And I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but we've seen three lost teams get into that tier, that echelon before. So Iowa State's best hope to, I believe, go to the Camping World Bowl in Orlando, which is sort of the ceiling for them right now, would be for that to happen. They don't want TCU to fall down into the pool with Oklahoma State and the rest of the Big 12 bowl eligible teams. I'm getting my hopes up right now because the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think it would be awesome to be able to go cover the Music City Bowl on the 29th and then drive to Memphis and cover the Liberty Bowl if Iowa State winds up. I know very few Iowa State fans want to go back to the Liberty Bowl. They've never been to a bowl game in Florida. And I think that if they wound up in Orlando, although Orlando is a cesspool, and I've said it a number of times on the air, if they wound up in Orlando, that place would just be flooded with Iowa State
fans.
Yes,
it would.
And I think, look, if you're a bowl, you have to take that into account, although it's not like the old days. And I think that sort of hurts Iowa State here a little bit. And it certainly is killing Iowa this year, because if the Big Ten puts its thumb on the scale and says, no, you guys are going to the Pinstripe Bowl because we want to keep this bowl happy and we've got an agreement with them to send X number of teams over 8 years, that's just absolutely going to be a backbreaker for Iowa, because I can't see a ton of people embracing that bowl game and making that trip. Now, you got alums that are in New York City. There are alums of every school there, but the East Coast Hawkeye alumni will turn out for that. I just don't know how many people are going to be, yay, let's go spend $300 a night for a hotel room in Hoboken and drive in because it's cheaper than staying in downtown New York City. We'll see.
Well, I think
find out sooner or later.
Iowa fans have made their mind up that they want to go to. Most of them have made their mind up on Nashville. The question is for Iowa State fans, do they want that bowl game in Orlando? Because it seems like the other options would be, yes, Memphis, and then Houston as well. The Texas Bowl is also higher up on the bowl pecking order than the Liberty Bowl and right below the Camping World Bowl. So is Orlando is where they want to go? If they go to, we talked about Memphis, if they go to Houston, would Iowa State fans flood Houston?
That's probably a really poor choice of words
hindsight. Wow.
Yeah. 424, we'll try to recover from that. And when we come back, something, it's very rare that something leaves me almost speechless. But I had something very nice happen to me earlier today, and I want to make sure that I say thank you for that. 424. Kyle's going to have his first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day on the way after this.
Foreigner with the Dave Egger Orchestra. March 29th, U.S. Cellular Center. Foreigner.
You're as cold as ice.
Performing together with an orchestra, a sophisticated spin on classic Foreigner. Reserve seats are on sale Friday, December 1st at 10 a.m. online at uscellularcenter.com. Tickets and exclusive VIP packages are available at foreigneronline.com.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
0024 on the text line says, I'm not sure we want a bunch of farmers representing Iowa in Florida. Look, I will say this. I've covered every Iowa football game, every bowl game in Florida of the Kirk Ferentz era. There are plenty of Hawkeye fans that I don't necessarily think put off a good vibe for the state of Iowa. So you can jab at Iowa State fans and quote-unquote farmers all you want, which, by the way, America does need farmers, and I do appreciate everybody who does that for a living. But there are a number of people within your own fan base, 0024, assuming that you are an Iowa fan, that, well, yeah. Maybe I still go back to the Rose Bowl trip when I was referred to by the waiter at the bar that we went to watch the Iowa-Michigan State basketball game. I was referred to as Husky by the snooty waiter in Los Angeles. And just I'm assuming that you guys are from Iowa. Oh, what gives that away? Well, you're Husky gentlemen.
So they just think that
get bent, buddy.
It's just amazing when I go to different parts of the country.
Paying $7 a beer and you're going to insult me to my face. It's not Ed DeBevics. That wasn't part of the deal.
The perception that people have about the rest of the country is hilarious at times.
You know, and I've said this a number of times, let them think that. Because we've got a good thing going here.
Well,
at least on this part of the state. I'm replaying that drive to Nebraska last week in my head. I'm thinking, you get west of Des Moines, and yeah, sometimes it feels like you're driving through the set of Children of the Corn, but from Des Moines on over to this side of the state, this is a really good part of Iowa. We've got a good thing going. We don't want everybody to know how great it is here. Hell, Tyler still talks about how cheap it was to drink here. You can go everywhere else, pay $7 a beer. Nah, not in Iowa, right? That's what it's all about. I want to, before we get to the big board, I had a package delivered here to the station today, and Loretta, who's our director of first impressions, came running down the hall. And poor Loretta, I need to get her something very nice for Christmas this year because I order a lot of stuff online, and she always, instead of having me come get it, brings it back to the back portion of the building. And she goes, okay, you got this package, but you got to turn it over. You got to see this. And so she hands it to me, and I turn it and go, okay, yeah, I know what this is. I ordered it for online shopping last week, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all that good stuff. Shop local, by the way. You don't necessarily always need to shop online. And in this particular instance, I did, so I'm a jerk. And on the back of the package was a note that from a fan of the show at FedEx. So I want to give a shout out to Ben at FedEx for making my day by writing on the back of the package. And I'm glad that I don't collect the packaging because, well, then it would have ruined my packaging collection. But
yeah, you can't throw that away now, can you?
You know what? I think I'm going to hang on to it. It's like the first, it's not really fan mail, is it?
Yeah, it is. They'd That's probably actually the definition
it.
Of
They'd
fan
probably
mail.
Bristle at FedEx if you use the term mail. That implies the USPS. I don't know. I'm picturing some sort of Anchorman fight scene in my head now with all these package delivery. Nobody expects the speedy delivery service. Let's go to Kyle for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa had a pair of all-timers on this year's defense, and today they were each recognized by the Big Ten as the best at their position. Cornerback Josh Jackson was named the Tatum Woodson Defensive Back of the Year, and Josie Jewell earned the Butkus Fitzgerald Linebacker of the Year, as well as the Nagurski Woodson Defensive Player of the Year. And this may be the least surprising news of this football season, but Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell was named Big 12 Coach of the Year today. He took a 3-9 team from last year to 7-5 this season, the best year for the Cyclones since 05. And while the Cyclones had only ever had one victory over a top five opponent in program history, Campbell led his team to 2 in this season alone. The Iowa women nearly upset number 13 Florida State last night. The Hawkeyes led 71-63 entering the fourth quarter, but 21 turnovers on the night came back to bite them, and they fell 94-93 in the final minutes. Megan Gustafson had 34 points on 15 of 18 from the floor, but was held to single-digit rebounds for the first time this season. The UNI men did upset UNLV last night. Bennett Cook led with 30 points in the 77-68 victory over the previously unbeaten Rebels. Clint Carlson also chipped in 23. Northern Iowa now has a few good non-con wins already, and to put things into perspective, their RPI ranking is 27, Iowa State is 20, and Iowa is 237. Tonight after the show, we're headed all over the place. We've got three frequencies, and we'll make use of all of them. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we'll have the Iowa State women traveling to Drake, set to tip off right at 7. We'll also have the Iowa City West guys hosting Dowling on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and Linmar visiting Kennedy on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Tough loss last night for Lisa Bluter and the Iowa women, but Megan Gustafson today named to the Naismith Trophy watch list. So some attention being paid to the outstanding post player that Lisa Bluter's got. Hawkeyes will be in action this weekend. The men, that is, starting Big Ten play with Penn State. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up tomorrow when Rob Howe sits in for Alex. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com joins us next. We'll try to make sense of what's going on in the world of college football.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. Former Louisville coach Rick Pitino is suing the school's athletic association for $37.6 million for breaching his contract and firing him in October without cause. Louisville is being investigated in a federal bribery case involving college basketball. Tiger Woods is 3-under par and 3 shots off the lead after the first round of the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. It was Woods' first competitive round since February. Florida State wants an answer soon from football coach Jimbo Fisher on whether he plans to keep his job with the Seminoles. ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh reports Texas A&M is ready to make Fisher an offer that would pay him more than $7 million a year. ESPN's Chris Lowe reports Tennessee plans to talk with former Texas A&M coach Kevin Sumlin. Meanwhile, Dave Doran says he's staying at NC State. Doran talked with Tennessee on Wednesday, but he will stay with the Wolfpack. Week 13 starts tonight in the NFL in Arlington, Texas. The 5-6 Cowboys hosting the 5-6 Redskins.
No matter what your budget is, take the JCPenney Holiday Challenge and find surprising gifts at even more surprising prices. Save on toys, apparel, and name brand gifts your family will love. Come in the store or go to jcp.com and get everything on your list for less than you think. JCPenney.
It's the Ford year-end sales event.
I can't wait for you to meet my parents.
Yeah, can't wait.
Oh, here's a spot.
Can you fit?
Just watch.
I am, and so is my family. Why are you taking your hands off the wheel?
And park.
The Ford Edge, with available enhanced active park assist, makes parallel parking very impressive. They're gonna love you. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand, now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash on select Fusion, Focus, Escape, Edge, and Explorer models. Hurry, offer expires November 30th, 2017. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Driver assist features are supplemental and do not replace driver's attention, judgment, and need to control the vehicle. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
Napa know-how.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Welcome back in, 4:36, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing here. We expect Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com to be joining us shortly. A little bit of news out of the Twin Cities, though, here. Looks like the Cedar Rapids Colonels are going to have a new manager in 2018. Mike Berardino of the St. Paul Pioneer Press reporting that Colonels manager Tommy Watkins is likely going to be named the manager at AA Chattanooga for the upcoming season. So we want to congratulate our friend Tommy, who's been terrific, joining us here on the afternoons on KGYM throughout his time in Cedar Rapids. And a big changes sound like they're on their way in the Twins minor league organization, but those guys are still sticking around. And one that I'm excited about, you're going to see a former Chicago Cubs manager passing through Cedar Rapids this summer as a roving instructor. Former AAA manager Mike Quadi has been named the roving outfield instructor for the Twins. So, Quad Squad, right here, baby. I was a big Quadi fan. He wasn't going to win anything. Those teams that he was managing were terrible. But I've always been a big Mike Quadi fan. I think he's a tremendous individual and a good baseball guy. But we'll have more on that coming up in the days and weeks to come, I'm sure. Nothing in the article, by the way, that Mike Berardino wrote about who will replace Tommy Watkins as the Colonels manager, but my assumption is that they perhaps may keep it in-house. I know Brian Dinkelman has been the hitting coach the last couple years in Cedar Rapids. Maybe he follows the developmental path that Tommy did, moving from hitting coach to manager. So we'll see how things work out there. The story also says that Jake Maurer, Joe Maurer's younger brother, who's been the manager of the Colonels for a number of the years that they've been a Twins affiliate, is said to be mulling over his professional options after spending the last 10 years managing in the Twins farm system. So we'll see whether or not Jake Maurer continues on. It's almost time Colonels Hot Stove is going to be here, right? In about, it's usually in the middle of January. Twins Caravan is a part of that. We'll see whether or not we're going to be a part of that event again this year here at KGYM. But how about that? Just as the hot stove starts to warm up a little bit, got some baseball news to pass along. You look concerned right now.
Not concerned, just it's the joys of live radio. Sometimes you got to shuffle your schedule on the fly. Adam Rittenberg had something come up.
He wants to move. Okay.
We're going to move him back behind Alex Halstead. We'll work on a time, but we're
okay.
Going to have
you
to
know
shuffle
what?
Some
this
things
This works
around.
Out perfectly then, because what better time to get to this than right now? We touched on it here at the start of the program, but one of the criticisms that gets leveled at media members here in Eastern Iowa, and it's not necessarily unique to Iowa and the Hawkeyes, but whenever Kirk Ferentz struggles, and we saw it this year a couple weeks ago, a lot of people say, when is the media going to start asking tough questions? And a lot of people in the media often respond, hey, if you think you can do it better than us, Kirk has a call-in show every week. Go to the call-in show and pick up a microphone and ask him yourself. And no one has ever done this, to my knowledge. No one has ever gone and confronted. The keyboard warriors suddenly lose a little bit of their moxie. Not so much for another call-in show. By the way, Alex was asking me in the office earlier today why they have these things. The answer is the coaches get paid to do them. It's part of the coach's compensation package. So why is there a Kirk Ferentz call-in show? Why is there a Matt Campbell? Why does he do the sideline show? They get money for it. It's part of their compensation. Florida State's Jimbo Fisher is said to be eyeing the Texas A&M job. Texas A&M moved on from Kevin Sumlin, who I guess is now choice number 10 or 11 at Tennessee. Tennessee is said to be talking with Kevin Sumlin. It seems to be a certainty that Jimbo Fisher is going to leave Florida State for Texas A&M and College Station. He's not happy in Tallahassee, according to a number of reports. So Jimbo Fisher had his call-in show last night, and it's very similar to the Kirk Ferentz call-in show. Most people pick up the phone and call in, and I know now they take texts, but the couple times that I've actually gone to the call-in show when there was news to report and you were trying to get Kirk Ferentz to comment on the situation or just in case anything came up at the call-in show, they usually have a live microphone, an open microphone there, and the host of said call-in show will be like, let's go out to the audience. And it's usually somebody, they leave their pom-poms sitting on the chairs and they go up to the microphone and they tell the coach how great he is. Well, that didn't happen at Jimbo Fisher's call-in show last night.
No, it did not.
I believe this gentleman was identified as Mike. Mike went to the microphone, and this is what transpired here. This is the Florida State Radio Network carrying the Jimbo Fisher call-in show last night as Mike takes the microphone to ask Jimbo Fisher a question.
You got a question face-to-face. Go ahead.
Jimbo, yes, you're very excited when you came on board with the program, very excited to have you as the offensive coordinator, very excited when you became the head coach.
Yes, sir.
It's been kind of a tough season, and I remember watching a lot of your press conferences and how you would talk about how we need to be committed to the program and keep cheering for the team, and we need to be talking about that, about loyalty to the program. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, where's the loyalty to the program, Jimbo?
Where is the loyalty to the program, Jimbo? That should be a bumper sticker and probably will be in short order. That gentleman was ushered out of the room, as a matter
forcefully.
Of fact. Forcefully by some Florida State employee who is caught on video shoving the guy in the back multiple times, even though he was walking out of the room on his under his own power. So I'm sure, he can probably turn around and claim assault, right? You can't just put your hands on somebody, but do you give that guy credit or not for what he did? 319-366-1600. Jimbo Fisher talks a lot about loyalty. Every college football coach talks about loyalty, and almost every college football coach is looking for the next big thing, the next move. And Jimbo Fisher is, again, for those of you who may not be aware, people go, why would anybody leave Florida State? And we'll talk with Adam Rittenberg about this when he joins us now in the 5 o'clock hour. But the facilities have been said are not the best there. He's been trying to get the university to make commitments to improving the facilities there. He's not happy with some of the arrangements that he's got at Florida State. And he can't get the university to get on the same page with him. So if Texas A&M comes calling, and it certainly does look like that's going to be the case, right? I mean, he's the number one name in the discussion for the Aggies' new head coaching job.
Yes, apparently the holdup right now is Texas A&M is vetting. Man, I never thought we'd hear that word used so much in 1 year. But Texas A&M is vetting the situation in how he handled the sexual assault allegations against Jameis Winston. But,
okay, so there's the only possible hiccup.
Yes, but they want him. And it seems like every year we hear the rumors about Jimbo Fisher jumping ship. Last year was LSU. This year, it's Texas A&M.
I kind of give that guy credit because, again, all these people that want to criticize Kirk Ferentz or in the past, you know, Paul Rhodes or Matt Campbell's day is coming at the Applebee's in Ames when he's got this big $3.5 million contract and they have a disappointing loss in the future. It happens to every coach. People want to be critical, but they want to do it behind a keyboard. They want to do it in it. This guy showed up in person and grabbed the microphone. And you know what? He called out Jimbo Fisher for his hypocrisy because, yeah, Jimbo Fisher talks about loyalty to the program all the time. And it's not going to stand up there and give a loyalty oath or a loyalty pledge to Florida State there on the call-in show because one fan wants him to, but everybody in that fan base knows what's going on. They're aware of the situation. And you got the host of the program and the head coach sitting up there and they're trying to pretend or they're trying to act as if it's just business as usual. And you know what? Kudos to that guy.
Give Mike all the credit in the world because we see Twitter tough guys. We see Twitter trolls all the time. Facebook commenting behind a fake avatar picture.
Good time to mention the Hurtin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600.
And luckily I didn't say text. But no, most people will identify themselves and are calm and cool and collected when talking about their program. For the most part, there are people that cross the line, but this guy didn't. How often do you hear somebody when somebody tweets something very abusive or disgusting at a professional or college athlete say, wow, I bet you wouldn't say that to his face? And he stepped in within 10 feet of Jimbo Fisher with a microphone in his hand and didn't say anything abusive or disgusting. He very calmly, without swearing,
very professional about it,
looked at him, didn't give him an alias, gave him his real name and said, Jimbo, where's the loyalty?
And I think if they would have let him have the microphone a little bit longer, he was trying for the compliment sandwich. You know, I was a big fan of yours.
Compliment.
I was a big fan of yours when you came here as a coordinator, and I was a big fan of your hiring. Okay, there you go. There's the compliment. Now we get to the part of the job review where your boss gives you the negatives, and had he had the microphone a little bit longer, perhaps he would have finished up with something nice about Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo, you're a great coach, and God bless.
And it was very difficult to find even that low quality of audio from this because, as you can imagine, this is not something that Florida State is loving having all over the internet. But the postscript of that, because there was a reporter on site and they got the tail end on video of him asking, "Where's the loyalty?" The call-in show goes on as if nothing happened. And the host of the show goes right back into the phone lines and actually said, he answered the question. He goes, "The loyalty's right here every Wednesday night." I was halfway expecting him to go into whatever the nightly special was at whatever bar or restaurant they were broadcast. But kudos
gourmet
to that host
night.
For a gourmet burger night at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. Kudos to the host for going and pretending as if nothing happened there, and Jimbo Fisher is sitting up there, and look, is he in an unenviable position, or is he's in an enviable position, in my opinion, because he's looking at likely making a move. Now, what happens if Texas A&M looks at the Jameis Winston situation and Jimbo Fisher's handling of that and goes, nah, in this climate, this day and age, Al Franken, Harvey Weinstein, all of the other scumbags out there, this climate, it's not favorable. We can't bring somebody in with that baggage. Now, Florida State and Jimbo, they got to kiss and make up, right?
Is the relationship beyond repair at this point?
I wouldn't say it's beyond repair, but he's been behind the scenes, reportedly behind the scenes for quite a while, imploring Florida State to step up and put some more money into the program and improve things there, and they haven't. And I don't necessarily know if this is now the best way to go about getting the improvements that you want, because you kind of look a little bit ungrateful to your employer. And Florida State, look, they've won under Fisher. They struggled this year. They didn't have the greatest season. So it's kind of hard to go. It's like in this business, and it's not a personal example here, but in this business, if people understand it in the media and TV and radio, you get ratings, right? And so if I walk down the hall after a really bad ratings period and I said, hey, now's the time for me to make demands about what I want on this show. Again, it goes back to the advice that I was given a long time ago by a good friend of mine in minor league baseball. Pick your spots. But you can't necessarily do it when you're the head coach of a Power 5 program. I mean, you can't wait for the perfect spot if you're Jimbo Fisher to lodge these complaints or ask for changes, because sooner or later, without him, it's going to hurt your job performance even more so. And we've seen bells and whistles and facilities. It's a big part of recruiting nowadays.
And he's a guy that wants to recruit at the highest level. He's the guy that wants to bring in a top five recruiting class year in and year out, and he's done that, which is why, to a certain extent, I don't understand the lobbying where this hasn't just been in the past couple of years. As 8068 points out, he was the one that helped bring an indoor facility to Tallahassee, and he's been making these demands year in and year out. And when he wins a national championship, gets back to another college football playoff, and is as successful as he is, and I hear his name as somebody who wants to jump ship after the success that he's had and after what it seems like the athletic department has given him, it's just confusing. And this is going to have to be decided in the next couple of weeks, because there's another candidate for that job that will take it, in my opinion, in a heartbeat, if Jimbo Fisher decides to leave, and that's the current coach at the University of Oregon, Willie Taggart, as, once again, 8068 points out.
Somebody else made it a really good point that Tennessee has gotten a lot of coaches' pay raises, and therefore they should be thanked for, and now Willie Taggart is probably going to get a pay raise in Eugene because of this opening, likely opening at Florida State. Now, look, this is nothing new. Hayden Fry did this at Iowa in the mid-80s when he used the specter of USC to get the bubble built. So, the idea is that Jimbo gets credit for bringing the indoor practice facility to Tallahassee. Yeah, but you got to ask yourself, they didn't have one before he got there? I mean, it's not 1985.
That's true.
You would like Hayden Fry. This is the 21st century. You think most programs, especially one of Florida State's pedigree, would have an indoor facility. They didn't before Jimbo got there, and he wants, okay, we've got this. Now, here are the other things that we need, because this alone isn't going to get it done. And that's where Florida State's like, come on, dude, we gave you the indoor facility. A college football and the arms race for the facility and other improvements, it's never ending.
It is, and it, like you said, it is strange to hear that a program like Florida State doesn't have top of the line facilities, because I asked the question, why is Jimbo Fisher wanting to jump ship every year, and you brought up facilities. That's a top 5 or 10 job in the country. That's a top 10 football program in college
football.
From a
perception-wise, yes.
Absolutely. And as people are pointing out, some of these programs that are lacking in facilities, you just wonder How have you fallen behind? Because that's become a huge part of recruiting.
It's tight here, but before we go to break, what it reminds me of is Dave Kaplan's book, The Plan, about the Chicago Cubs. When Theo Epstein was hired as GM in 2011, and he gets there, and you think, okay, it's the Cubs, right? Major League Baseball organization, 2011, they were still taking season ticket orders off a fax machine. So you look and go, Florida State, man, that's a marquee program, top 10 job. And then you look at what they're working with, what the coaching staff has to work with, and you go, it's almost like a third world country here when you look at everything else. You know, even Northwestern's got fancy practice facilities and all of that stuff now. So that's kind of where I go with that. 4:54. Oh, Adam Rittenberg, as we mentioned, moved back now to 5:30. Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports covering the Cyclones joins us to kick off hour number two. Foreigner tickets on the way, would you? And a whole lot more back after this.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at kgymradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City. Driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials.
All right, so we've moved Adam Rittenberg now to 5 o'clock. He's going to join us next, and then Alex Halstead, who is going to be with us at 5 o'clock, is joining us at 5:30.
Correct.
Okay.
That is final, hopefully.
We're not moving. Do we need to move the big board?
No, I think we're good on that.
Here's Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank big board update for you. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa had a pair of all-timers on this year's defense, and today they were each recognized by the Big Ten as the best at their position. Cornerback Josh Jackson was named the Tatum Woodson Defensive Back of the Year, and Josie Jewell earned the Butkus Fitzgerald Linebacker of the Year, as well as the Nagurski Woodson Defensive Player of the Year. And this may be the least surprising news of this football season. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell was named Big 12 Coach of the Year today. He took a 3-9 team from last year to 7-5 this season, the best year for the Cyclones since 05. And while the Cyclones had only ever had one victory over a top five opponent in program history, Campbell led his team to two in this season alone. The Iowa women nearly upset number 13 Florida State last night. The Hawkeyes led 71-63 entering the fourth quarter, but 21 turnovers on the night came back to bite them, and they fell 94-93 in the final minutes. Megan Gustafson had 34 points on 15 of 18 from the floor, but was held to single-digit rebounds for the first time this season. The UNI men did upset UNLV last night. Bennett Cook led with 30 points in the 77-68 victory over the previously unbeaten Running Rebels. Clint Carlson also chipped in 23. Northern Iowa now has a few good non-con wins already, and to put things into perspective, their RPI is 27, Iowa State is 20, and Iowa is 237. Tonight after the show, we're headed all over the place. We've got three frequencies, and we'll make use of all of them. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym, we'll have the Iowa State women traveling to Drake, set to tip off right at 7. We'll also have the Iowa City West guys hosting Dowling on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and Linmar visiting Kennedy on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
One other note, former Hawkeye wrestler Bill Zadek named the USOC Olympic Coach of the Year today, leading the men's freestyle team to the 2017 world title in his first year on the job, the first time that the U.S. team won the team title in 22 years. So congratulations there. Adam Rittenberg joins us next to talk college football.